Our first scripture reading this morning is from the 29th chapter of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. These words were written to the Israelites in one of the darkest times of their history. They are in exile in Babylon, and I'm sure they're wondering if God has forgotten them and what their future will hold. So Jeremiah writes, speaking for God, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I have sent you into exile." Word of God, word of life. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel reading, which is from the 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel, is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive after all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Hello.
Till you hear this.
Okay, I'm waiting.
I did it. I entered into a God conversation. Actually, I started the conversation. Are you proud of me? Do I get God points for starting a God conversation?
Wow, good for you, I guess. How did it go? Depending on how it went determines the God point. You do know, by the way, there are no such thing as God points.
Oh, don't take all the fun out of this. I want my God points. Anyway, you remember that woman at work I told you about? The one who believed that God was in control, and so therefore, the pandemic would be over when God wanted it over?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I saw her in the break room. It was just the two of us. So I got a cup of coffee, sat down next to her, introduced myself, and summoned all my courage and my desire for God points, and asked her if I could ask her a question. She said yes. I reminded her of the pandemic conversation and what she said about God. Then I told her about our conversation, how you don't believe God is almighty or that God is in control.
I hope you said a little more than that. I also hope you didn't mention my name.
Relax. Of course I told her more than that. I told her you think God works more through love than through power. I also told her that Jesus never called God almighty, but instead called him Father. So what do you think? How'd I do?
Sounds like you did well. But the question is, how did she respond?
Well, she agreed that God was loving, no argument there. But she wasn't sure what to make of the idea that God wasn't in control. She told me that back when she was in high school, one of her classmates died in a car crash. At the funeral, she specifically remembers the pastor saying that somehow it was all part of God's plan, and that someday it would all make sense. She said she had always remembered that and found comfort in it.
And what did you say to that?
I gave her your phone number and told her to call you.
You what?
Just kidding. I didn't want to argue with her, and I really didn't know what to say. So I just thanked her for the conversation and said I had to get back to work. And here I am now, calling you for the answers, or at least your answer.
First of all, don't scare me like that. You lose God points when you scare your friends.
But I'm not surprised to hear that she believes everything is part of God's plan. I think a lot of religious people think that. And as you've probably guessed, I'm not one of them.
I didn't think you were. So what would you have said to her?
Well, that's tricky. As she said, believing that everything a part of God's grand plan is very comforting to a lot of people. Sometimes when you're so desperate to understand why something horrible has happened, like teenagers dying in a car crash, it's easier to accept a bad answer than to have no answers at all.
You said that the last time we talked, that God being in control was an easy answer. You think this is the same thing?
Pretty much. If God is in control, or if everything is part of God's plan, at best, we're just spectators, or even worse, puppets. The whole puppet show is fully scripted. God is, and will be, pulling all the strings. We're just along for the show.
So what would you offer instead?
Well, I want to believe that the future is open, that neither of us nor God is trapped in some preordained future. I want to believe that God is still at work doing new things, and that what we do matters.
But what do you say to those human tragedies, like teenagers dying in car crashes?
Well, I admit I don't have an easy answer for that, but that's the point. I don't want to settle for easy answers. I'd much rather wrestle with those questions than believe that the future is set in stone and we're just God's puppets and someday it will all make sense. I don't remember Jesus saying anything remotely like that in the Bible. Jesus showed people a new way to live. Why would he do that if everything is all planned out?
That makes sense to me. I wonder what Karen, her name is Karen, by the way, would say if I could give her your phone number.
No, that's fine. So do you think you'll talk to Karen about this again?
I'm not sure. Guess it depends on if I need more God points. Thanks for talking to me about this.
My pleasure. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
So we're continuing on with this series about changing the story. In other words, changing how we understand and explain how we believe that God is at work in our lives and in our world. And this morning, as you've been introduced to, the question is about what is God up to? And it's about changing the story from God has a plan to a God who has an open future for us. And I have to admit, this is, I think, kind of the first one of these topics that I'm a little bit concerned that I might hurt some feelings or get some pushback from, because I know from experience how tempting it is and how common it is for us to go to this God has a plan way of thinking of things. I think this, in a sense, is very much tied to what we talked about last week, the idea that God is in control or that God is almighty, and that might have also rubbed you a little weird last week, I don't know. But as we kind of heard in that dialogue, this idea that when something bad happens, a way to explain it is to say, well, it's all just part of God's plan, again, is something that I hear pretty frequently. But I hear it, obviously, most often in those times of tragedy. You know, when someone in their 80s or 90s dies, that makes sense. People get old, and we all know that no one lives forever. And so it's easy to understand, it's easy to give meaning to, we give thanks for a life well lived, all that stuff, but it's very different when we're at the funeral of a child or a youth or even a young adult, who any age adult, now that I'm one of those, you know, when people die unexpectedly or tragically, we are left looking for answers. And I really think this is more difficult for us religious people. Because we bring a very pesky question to those situations. And that is, not only what does this mean, how do I make sense of this, but we want to ask, how is God involved? And that's where it gets difficult, right? Because even though we may have an idea of being of God being almighty, we also believe that God is loving. And so it brings us to that classic question, you know, how can an all-loving, all-powerful, almighty God allow bad things to happen? Or just the simple, why do bad things happen to good people? And I want to be careful here because that's not, we're going to talk about that specific topic, I think it's September 5th. But I kind of needed to introduce this idea of God having a plan because I think where we most often hear it is, again, at those times of crisis, those times of tragedy. And again, it's appealing because it kind of answers those two questions. Where is God in this? Well, it's part of God's plan. That's where God is. You know, this, you know, it's horrible that so-and-so died, but don't worry because it's part of God's plan. And we don't understand that plan now, but, you know, we will. And that kind of does those two things. It keeps God involved, and in a sense, it makes some sense. It gives some meaning. And so I understand why it's comforting. And again, now, if this is something that has helped you through a difficult time, I don't want to, you know, trounce on this, but I do want to, I want you to, you know, once again, it's so difficult we're in the midst of that to wrestle with these things. It's a little bit easier, you know, if we have some distance. So that we're not at the funeral of a child right now makes this a little easier to talk about. Here's my concern. Here's where it gets tricky when we start talking about that God has a plan, that everything is part of God's big plan when we try to discuss tragedies. The first thing that I find troubling about it is the image of God it gives us. Because think about it. If, you know, you're at the funeral of someone who, you know, who shouldn't have died, it wasn't someone of old age. It was one of those tragic deaths that make no sense. And if the answer is, well, it's okay because it's all part of God's plan, imagine God in that room with you. What is God's posture? What does God look like? How is God reacting to the people around in that room? See, in my opinion, if the answer is just God saying, don't worry about this. I know you don't understand now, but someday you'll understand because it's all part of my plan. I mean, God is just sitting there kind of saying, you don't get it now, but you will. I mean, God is pretty removed. God isn't, well, what God isn't doing is that God isn't suffering with us. God isn't crying with us. God is above it all because it's part of this plan that God understands. And I think that's I don't think that's a healthy way for us to understand God. As if God, once again, is kind of this distant, far-off God who just, you know, it's all okay, people, I'm in charge, don't let anything freak you out. Well, we are freaked out. And I'd much rather have a God, which is the God I hear in Scripture, a God who cries with us, a God who weeps with us, a God who mourns and suffers with us when we mourn and suffer. And this is the God who is going to wipe away every tear from our eye. This is when Jesus goes to find his friend Lazarus dead, and Jesus weeps. God cares. God has compassion. Compassion means to have passion with. So that's my first thing. If with this idea that everything's part of God's master plan, it really makes God very removed from us. But it also then, I think, changes. It's one thing to say that once again in the midst of a tragedy, but if we start thinking of it in terms of tragedies, I think it also seeps into our daily understanding of what God is doing. And then all of a sudden, everything is all planned out. Everything's just part of God's plan. And again, if that is the case, what you and I do doesn't matter because it's already been planned out. We, as in the dialogue, we become at the best spectators. We just get to see this play unfold before us. But worse, we really are just puppets. We're just doing that thing that God has preordained that we're going to do. We have no free will. We have no agency. It separates us from God. And God becomes this puppeteer up in the sky, and we're just kind of watching what happens around us. And so I think I am much more comfortable, and I want to invite you to think of the story of God as instead a God that has an open future. God has no more idea what's going to happen 5 minutes from now than you or I do. The future is completely open. Now, that, once again, if you've never thought of it in those terms, the idea that, God has no idea what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, let alone 5 years from now or 10 years from now, that might be a little bit jarring. What do you mean God doesn't know what's going to happen? To me, that's a story that I find much more appealing than this master plan story. Because it then means that God is active in our lives, calling us into that new future, that open future. That what we do matters. And how we relate to God matters. And how God is present in our lives matters all of a sudden again. Let me see if this helps at all. Let's talk about something we're all more comfortable talking about. The Huskers. Does Scott Frost have a plan for the Huskers for this season? We all hope so. Is that plan going to happen? We hope so. Please, Jesus, make the plan happen. But we all know the plan is not going to go exactly how Scott plans, right? Every individual play is totally scripted out, right? This person does this, and this person does that, and this person does that, and because of that, we sack the person or we get a touchdown. Every play is planned out. Those plans don't always happen, as we all know, painfully, painfully so. The future is open. Doesn't mean that there's not a plan, but we have to be realistic, because doesn't every coach have a plan? Doesn't every opposing team's plan for that play, isn't it just the opposite of our plan for that play? And the reason we watch is because we don't know which plan is going to work. So does God have a plan for you and for me and for us and God's creation? Sure, God does. Is that plan going to be exactly what God thinks it's going to be? Again, the easy answer is yes, because it's all planned out. It's all set. The future's all totally set. God knows the day that I'm going to die and the day that you're going to die, and God knows what I'm going to do 20 minutes from now, and God knows when it's all coming to an end. Or God has a plan the same way Scott Frost has a plan. Is that plan going to happen exactly? Probably not. Because I think you and I do matter. We do have agency. We do have freedom. And I don't know about you, but I am not always good at following the plans that God has for me. You know, it's interesting when you go to Scripture about this. So I do what I often do is I just go to Google and type in things like, does God have a plan? Or what are the Bible verses about God having a plan? Because I'm just curious to kind of see what pops up. And a lot of the lists that I looked on, the first text they had is this reading from Jeremiah. But it was interesting when you kind of look at the images then. A lot of the images from this verse are just the first part of that verse. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And if you just look at that, I think you can kind of do that. Oh, yeah, God has it all planned out. God has plans for us. But when you read the second part of the verse, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Yes, God has a plan for us. Jesus came to make God's plan more clear to us. But how that plan plays itself out is this very interesting dance between us as God's people and God, who is doing God's best to call us into this open future in ways that help accomplish what God is trying to accomplish in the world. And the difference between Scott Frost and God, God has more time, thankfully. Do I believe that God's plan is going to work out? Well, yeah, because God has time. And God is continually at work in us, as individuals, as congregations, as all of creation. And I think, once again, that God is constantly calling us to follow the plan that God has set before us. You know, Jesus comes and says, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. In other words, you know, live this new way that I've shown you, this get rid of this dog-eat-dog kind of way of looking at things, and how do we love and care for each other? How do we get rid of this outside idea of insiders and outsiders? I mean, that's God's plan. And as we follow that plan, as we allow God to call us into this open future, God's plan, bit by bit, becomes more of a reality. And that's hard to see sometimes, I admit. A number of us, I look around this room, were at the Pride Parade downtown yesterday. If you've never been to one of these, I invite you to come walk with us next time we do it as a group, or just to show up, because this is the second one I've been to, but let me tell you something. You know, for a relatively conservative place like Nebraska, you just can't, if you weren't there, you can't imagine, if you didn't see it on TV, I don't know if it was how it was covered, but there are just people, hundreds, thousands of people lining the streets saying, we want to make sure we support LGBTQI+ people, that we want to make sure they have a place in our society like, you know, everybody else. That's the kind of stuff that just gives me hope in the midst of a world that often seems like it's just falling apart. I believe with all my heart that God's plan for the welfare of humanity and creation is moving in the right direction. Not nearly as fast as any of us want it to, but you got to find those things to look at and see what God is doing We got to continue to gather together as people of God to encourage one another, to invite each other to move into that open, good future that God is calling us to. What we do matters. We are part of God's plan, not as puppets, but as God's hands and feet, God's voice, God's compassion, God's heart in this world. How we live those things out, that's how we get to help write this story for ourselves and for others. Thanks be to God. Amen.